Would you please have a seat this morning? Thanks, John and worship team. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Just before we get into today's message, I'm going to invite Terry Somerville. I know he's here. There he is. As a church, we ended the year. Thanks, John. We ended the year really well financially, which is a blessing from the Lord, right? You'll see as the AGM comes up, which is, I think it's going to be in April. You know, we had some big expenses, of course, moving us here, things like that. But God really blessed us, which is, it's a testament to your faithfulness. Here's what I'm trying to get at. The reason Terry's up here is because as we met as a board and we realized what God had done in blessing us, you know, we said, you know, we talked about it. We said, we really feel like we should give out of this excess that God has given us. And so as we prayed about it, we really felt God led us to bless the radio station. And so so we gave, yeah, it's good stuff. We gave Terry a check for, I think, $3,000. Yeah, which is great stuff. Yeah, you got him. So, come on, just invite Terry. There we go.
God bless you. Okay, yeah. There we are. I just want to say thank you so very much for your gift. And I've got to tell you, I promised I wouldn't talk more than 3 minutes.
So that's right.
Listen, you can listen to me all week long.
If you've ever met Terry, the man can talk. It's good, though.
That's what we're made for, right?
Yeah.
But the radio station, you know, it's been an unusual ministry right from the very beginning. And in fact, when I came here, it was prophesied over me that I'd be like a watchman on the tower over Campbell River, and never put it together, you know, until the last 7 years at the radio station. And God has been able to do, through that ministry, unusual things in the city, to bless the city. And the day before Ernie Anderson came over, we're just moving into the building in Campbellton at the corner of Peterson, the old bakery. Been a bakery since 1927. So here we are serving the Word of God now. Out of the bread of life.
Bread of life, yeah.
Out of the bakery, right? And the building has been dedicated to the Lord from the beginning when Floyd Lang purchased it. And he'd been praying, God, what do you want to do with this building? What do you want to do with it? It's awesome. So there we are moving into it. But the day before Ernie came over, I was actually praying, Lord, we've got all these expenses, and I know you've called us to move. And I thank you, Lord, for supplying all that we need over and abundantly. And the next day, Ernie shows up and tells me about the gift. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
good.
I just want to read. There's something unusual happening in Campbell River now. We're in a time where the Holy Spirit is releasing new things. It's a Kairos time in Campbell River and maybe in the nation, but at least in Campbell River. I want you to know that. Kairos means God's time. But here is what you fulfilled. I'm just going to read it and I'll finish. Okay. Here is what you guys did. And it's in the Lord, and it's happening through us. So it says here, Paul says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. That's what he's done. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. And then here's our part. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Isn't that amazing? So he's supplying the seed. He's supplying the bread to the eater. Through that ministry that you have, you're supplying to us. We're able to overflow to the community, and we're being thanks. And I thank you for the thank yous. I had a whole bunch of people come up to me and say how much you appreciate the ministry. And when I'm on the air, you know, I don't hear unless you tell me. You know, you've got to come up and tell me, because on the air, I'm just looking at a microphone and a computer screen. So thank you very much. God's in this, yeah. God's working, and he's working through you to supply the needs and to bless the city.
Thanks. I want to pray for you. Let's pray for Terry and the radio station. Lord, thank you so much for Terry and his obedience to you. God, we just pray now for increase and expanse upon the radio station. Yes. That, Lord, that it would reach people, God, that it hasn't reached yet. That Lord, as people would tune in, God, they would hear your word. They would experience you and your spirit, Lord. That it would be a vehicle, an avenue through which salvation comes and people find you and are healed and set free.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We bless you and we honor you, God, for what you're going to do. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Terry. That's good stuff. You know, that as a church, then, you know, we were an answer to prayer. And isn't that neat? That God was, and so here's my thinking. There's people out there right now in our community, right, praying, wanting, they need things. They're looking for things. They need help. And you, we encourage you that you, we are to be the answer to people's prayer. We understand that Jesus is the ultimate answer, but he uses us. And this is part of what we've been talking about with he is, therefore I am. And so we're going to keep looking at that today and moving into this series today where we're going to talk about the fact that we are a royal priesthood and what that means for us. So we're actually going to start right in 1 Peter 2, 4, verse 4, and says this. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So Peter is describing Jesus here as a living stone, rejected by man, chosen by God, and that we also are like living stones, being made into his likeness, being made into a spiritual house. Now, a living stone is a bit of an odd description, right? I have here a stone with me. I'm not going to throw it at anybody. Not yet. But I just picked this up. Right? So it's a rock. And let me ask, is it going to talk? Right? Is this rock going to say anything to us? The scripture says, right, if we don't, it will cry out. So we would understand that within the kingdom, within God's kingdom, everything is alive, including rocks. But in our physical world, rocks don't talk, right? Rocks are not living. If I set this rock here, is it going to move at any point? It's not going to go anywhere, right? It's not going to get up and decide that it's time to leave because the preacher's boring. Right? It's going to stay right there unless a force moves it. But Jesus is described as a living stone. It's kind of it's a strange description in the physical. Now, the thing is, because this rock will just sit there and never move unless something forces it to move, that helps us to understand who Jesus is, that he is a stone, a rock upon which we can build our faith. Right? He doesn't move. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we understand that, but we also understand then that he is living. He's able to speak into what is today, into this moment, right? And like a rock that just sits and doesn't say anything. He's a living stone. And he is the foundation, the rock that we can trust. Now, at one point in time in my life, I might have said that he's the rock upon which I can build my life. But as I've come to understand who we are in him, here's what I've come to learn, is that I actually am not meant to build my own life. Jesus is not simply an addition to what I'm doing in my life. He is our life. We don't build our life upon him. He is the living stone, the living rock that builds our life for us. He isn't an addition. He is our life. He builds it. He is the living stone, and you can trust him to build your life. How much of our life we let him build is up to us, or how much we're willing to surrender. It says that we are like him. Right? You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Our faith is meant to be unmoved and yet growing. Our faith is meant to be solid and firm upon Christ and yet growing and changing. As God is teaching you things, it doesn't mean that we think when Daniel talked about it this, when he was praying, God, you know, when we're in storms of life, God's teaching us things. That doesn't mean that God looks at us with a disappointment or with a sense of, oh, you could be so much better. We understand that we could be better. He looks at us and says, I'm the living stone. I am the foundation upon which your life rests. But I will make you grow. Because the growth is good for us. We often define ourselves by what is so very wrong with us, all the things that are wrong and negative about us. And so we would say that that's the reason that I need to grow, is to undo that which is bad within me. And I think God looks at it very differently. Because what's he say? What's he building us into? A spiritual house. Well, a spiritual house sounds like a pretty good thing, right? Now, what's a house for? It's to live in, right? Houses are to live in. People live in them. They dwell in them. This is what we're being built into. The purpose of a home is for people to live in it. The purpose of the spiritual house is a dwelling place for a holy priesthood. And that holy priesthood offers spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus. God wants to build us into a spiritual home that contains him, his presence. Now, in the Old Testament, a priest would sacrifice a physical animal to deal with the spiritual condition of sin. And we would see and understand that Jesus is the physical sacrifice for our spiritual condition. He paid our sin once for all. Jesus paid for your sin once for all. Every sin that you have ever committed, every sin you ever will commit. That's not, and you know, we would understand through Scripture, that doesn't mean you have license to go out and go crazy. But he knows that we'll continue to fail, and yet he doesn't look at us through failure. How do you see yourself? How do you define yourself? Do you look at all the ways that you fail and you mess up? Sometimes that's difficult and hard, right? When it seems to be that that's the thing you're doing consistently. But what we have to, how we should define ourselves is the same way that God does. What he says about us. As living stones, God is building us into the fullness of his nature, into his glory. He does get rid of what are faulty foundations as we offer them as sacrifices, establishing, and then he establishes in us the foundations of Christ. See, God is not building upon the faulty foundation of your life. He won't build upon the faulty foundation of your life. He builds upon Christ in you. That's supposed to mean something good and beautiful and encouraging for us. That we can actually surrender them to him, the faulty foundations, the lies, the bad habits, the fault, the bad character. We can surrender it to him, knowing that he's happy to take it and to renovate it, and then will build upon himself within us. We tend to think that it's way more dependent upon us than it is. Our job is to surrender. Our job is to offer the sacrifice of ourself. Say, God, I die to me. I die to me. I die to me. I die to you. I put myself to death, right? I die to you. He will not build upon the faulty foundation of your life. Jesus is this living stone. He's called the cornerstone here in 1 Peter. God is building you on the foundation of Christ. How much square footage he gets in your life is up to you. How much you're willing to surrender. And sometimes, and we've all experienced it, there are times where the foundation that he is building within us comes into conflict with a faulty foundation within our life, a wrong belief, a sinful habit, or a character flaw. And what God calls us to is to sacrifice it, to put it to death, and then to let God build in us what is his character, his beliefs, his habits. I've actually found that happens primarily in three ways in our life. That God builds this spiritual home in us. I found it in three ways. The first is that when we encounter him, he's a living God, right? A living stone. He's a living God. And so we can encounter him. We can know him. He is here among us right now. He's with you when you leave. He's with you when you go to work tomorrow. He's in your home He's in your neighborhood. He's a living God, and we can encounter him. And so we're meant to experience him, and I found that in encountering him, in experiencing him, he undoes in me the faulty foundation and then speaks truth, because he is truth. Right? Truth is not a teaching. Truth isn't right or wrong, although we know it involves that. Truth is a person. Jesus is the truth. So we encounter him. The second thing is when we recognize his work in our life and we partner with it using the Word of God. So the Word of God is one of the ways that God builds within us his foundations. And then the third way that I've found it is with each other in community. Us interacting with other people, with each other. Have you ever had a believer speak something to you at just the moment you needed it? Right? You needed to be encouraged. You needed kindness. You needed a check. Right? We challenge one another. And that's good. So interacting with each other brings about God's kingdom within us, him building this spiritual home. He is building us into a spiritual house, a place where he wants to dwell, and he is constantly renovating our heart to make the house suit his needs. And so we're going to look at what it means to be a royal priesthood, because one of the things he says about us is that that's who we are. We are royal priests. Not just me, just because I have pastor in front of my name doesn't make me a royal priest. I don't actually have pastor in front of my name. My name's just Blair, but it'd be weird if my parents named me pastor. Each and every one of you, if you know the Lord, you're a royal priest. There isn't one of us that gets excluded from this. Not in his opinion, anyways. I suppose you can exclude yourself. But he looks at you and says, this is who you are. And so he says this. He says, but you are a chosen people. Right? Pastor Don spoke with that last week. Did a great job. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Biblically, priests are mediators. So what that means is they mediate between God and man. They stand between God and man. They're the go-between. We are being made into a spiritual house. So if you keep that analogy, what that means is that priests are doors. They're doorways. What's a doorway? A doorway is a threshold from one area to the other, right? When you walk out from here and you go from the threshold of our meeting room, the sanctuary, into the lobby, and then out the next set of doors, from inside to outside. Doorways are thresholds. A priest is a mediator. It's somebody that stands in between the two, in between two sides. And this we would understand, that it's in between God and man. Houses have doors, right? If a house didn't have a door, it's just a big, large box that if you manage to get into, you'd never get out again, right? Doors have purpose. You have a purpose. Doors are useful. You're meant to be useful to God. You are a doorway between God and other people. A threshold for the kingdom of God. That it goes from the inside to the out. From the physical, right, or from the spiritual into the physical. Priests are the doorway through which man can approach God and God can minister to people. Now, what does this mean for us? See, if you know the Bible, you'd know and understand that the Bible in Hebrews describes Jesus as the great high priest. So people don't actually have to come to us to experience Christ. That would absolutely be true. They can go to Jesus all on their own. They can go directly to him, but the fact is that God has set it up this way, that he wants to use us. He desires for us to be a threshold, a doorway, a priest that ministers to both him and then to others. See, we, as a priest ministers to God, you are able to minister to God. Now, that looks different than the ministry to man, right? In ministering to God, we bless him, we exalt him, we declare who he is. It's part of the reason, right, why we get together and we worship like we do. It's to exalt him, it's to lift him up, it's to minister to him. And then we turn and we're to minister to each other, to people, both believer and unbeliever. So while people can go directly to him, God has set this up for us to be used. Priests have responsibilities to minister, to care, to offer sacrifices. Now, Jesus is the sacrifice upon which every sin is forgiven, every healing is purchased, all brokenness is made whole. And so what that means for us is that we are called to be the doorway that bridges between the spiritual and the physical, through which God can do the miraculous in people's lives, through which God can work into other people's life. You are called to be a priest, a threshold for the Spirit of God. You are called to be a priest. Now, some of you, that if you grew up in a religion that has that, that maybe makes you uncomfortable, and that isn't my goal. God might just have to simply undo something in you in order for you to come into this, because this is meant to be a very good thing. We shouldn't base it upon our earthly understanding of priesthood. He's called you to be a priest. You have responsibilities in being a priest. To offer sacrifice of yourself, to minister to him and to others. To help people encounter Jesus, who is the one and only sacrifice for the forgiveness of their sins and the deliverance and the healing of their body. One time, religious leaders asked Jesus where the kingdom of God, like when it would come. They come right out, and Luke, it's Luke 17, we're not going to read it, we're just going to look at one verse. They ask him, they said, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus talks to them, and now they're referring to an earthly kingdom with an earthly king. And Jesus says to them, you won't be able to say, well, there it is, or there it is. And he responds, and he says this to them. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. Kingdom of God, it's within you. Right? If a house doesn't have doors, it's not very useful. The kingdom of God is in you and it wants out. It gets out through the door. The question that each of us has to ask then is, what are my responsibilities here on earth as a priest? What are my responsibilities? Because priests have them. How is it you want me to minister, Lord? Because we're each called to minister. Each and every one of us are meant to do things for God, for the Lord. To see things happen. Now, we're called to bring Jesus into each and every situation as we listen to him, as we're led by the Spirit. Now, Scripture, it says there that we're a royal priesthood, and so we're going to look a little bit more at that in just a minute. So the kingdom of God is within us. What that means is that you are God's representative, royal representative, wherever you are. in your workplace, in your workplace, with the person that you work with that you just can't stand and don't want to be around, guess what? God has put you there to be a priest to that person, a royal priest. They might be a royal something else, but you're called to be a royal priest. You are God's representative in your workplace, in your home, in your community, at the restaurant that you might go to later today, in the line at the grocery store. There's never a time when you are not a royal priest before the Lord. God wants to give you opportunities to release the kingdom of God. And when the kingdom of God shows up, good things happen. Where's the kingdom of God? When you show up, good stuff's supposed to happen. Now you have to ask God what that means and what that looks like. We should never just assume. We need to ask the Spirit of God. What are you doing? What are you saying? That's why we minister to him, so that we know his voice. We are called to be a royal priesthood. Royal, the word, I believe that God uses the word royal there because he wants us to help us understand the authority that is behind us whenever we bring Jesus into any situation. Jesus is the King of Kings, right? He's the King of Kings. You're called royalty. For some of you, that makes you really uncomfortable really fast, right? He's the King of Kings. We don't go anywhere he doesn't tell us to go. We don't do anything he tells us not to do. That's supposed to be how it looks for us. Right? How much square footage of your home he gets is up to you. We're meant to hear his voice, to stay in step with his Spirit, to operate in his authority and his alone. You see, a priest isn't the authority, as you might have experienced in an earthly or man-made structure. A priest isn't the authority. They only operate in the authority of the one who's given it to them. So the priest is just simply the doorway to the one with the authority. You know, like many of you, you know, we've prayed and seen God do some neat stuff, right? And you've probably prayed and had God answer prayers and do miraculous things. You pray because you need money, and God, the next day, God sends a check, right? But that isn't based upon Terry's authority. It's based upon the authority of the one that he represents. You know, we've told you some stories. We've prayed for people and seen them physically healed from, and I know that we're not alone in that. I know there's other people in this room that have seen those same things. We've prayed and seen cancer come out of people. We've seen diseases leave their body, arthritis, and I don't know how to heal anybody. I'm not a doctor, although I play one on TV. I just totally dated myself, right? Because a whole bunch of you actually remember that. Sorry. I don't know how to heal anybody, but Jesus knows. My job is to introduce them to him, to be the doorway, the threshold. So many times believers find themselves in situations and they think, oh, I have no idea what to do. And this panic or fear sets in because they think that they can't answer the problem or the situation that's in front of them, completely losing sight of the fact that they're not the answer at all. Jesus in them is the answer. That's why we have to remember he's the King, but he calls us royalty. It's his authority. We can simply introduce people to the one who is the true authority. to set people free, to see them forgiven and healed and delivered. Our responsibility is to mediate, to be the doorway. He's the King of Kings. Therefore, we get to join in his royalty. He is the great high priest. Therefore, we get to act as he would in this world. We have the privilege and the responsibility of stewarding the kingdom of God here on earth. All right, last week, John talked about the fact that we're chosen. Here's one of my thoughts around that, because he did a great job. One of my thoughts around that is that we can't control what or who God chooses. He's sovereign, right? He is independent from us, just like we can be independent from him. But we can't control God, ever. And to think that we can is foolishness. He's chosen you. You have no choice over the fact that he's chosen you. You have no control over that. There's nothing you can say that'll change his mind over the fact that he's chosen you. He's picked you. If you don't like it, that's too bad. He's not changing his mind. Now, we understand that we can reject the choice. We can say, I don't care if you chose me, God. I will not pick you back. We understand that. So we have a right or a responsibility there. But he's picked you. You can't control his choice. Because you can't control a sovereign, omnipotent God. Here's the thing. He's chosen you to be a royal priest. He's chosen you for that. You. Each and every one of you, he's chosen you to be a royal priest. It's not like, you can't say, well, no, that's not for me. That's optional. I'm sure that's for those people over there, the kooky or weird ones. No, he's picked you. He's chosen you. See, the Father didn't have to make us. He wanted to. He chose to make us. He knew you before he made the world. He knew you. He knew your name. He knew when you'd be born. He knew where you'd be born. He knew who your parents were. He chose you. You were not born by accident. God, there aren't mistakes like that. He knew who you were. You didn't just stumble into faith. You didn't grow up in it. You may have, but I mean, that wasn't his, you know, he doesn't look at it that way. He picked you. He knows who you are. What that means is that he knows everything about you. He knows everything that's good about you and everything that's not. And he still says, I pick you. And I pick you to be a royal priest before me. How many times are we thinking things like, God could not use me because of fill in that blank? I don't know enough. I sin too much. I've done this in my past. Whatever. And he looks at us and says something very, very different. Who are you going to believe? How are you going to define yourself? In Christ, we all qualify to be a royal priesthood. The Apostle Peter wrote this, right? 1 Peter. What was Peter's career? He was a fisherman, right? You know, and I love, like lots of people, I love in the Gospels, you know, when Peter does things. Because I don't know about you, I can often identify, right? Where I'm like, oh my gosh, I say stupid things so many times. Much like Peter. He was a fisherman. Now, in that day and age, in that culture, it's a caste system or a feudal system. So there were classes, and you never got to move out of your class. He was a poor fisherman, unlike the fishermen that live here. Although they might tell you differently, I'm sure. And I'm just teasing. I don't really know. That's the truth. He was a poor fisherman. He never would have dreamed of being royalty or a priest. Wouldn't have crossed his mind. Wouldn't even have become something that was within the realm of possibility within the natural. So then he's the one under the Holy Spirit who then writes the words, "We are a royal priesthood." Well, how does he know that and understand that? How does he get there? And from a worldview and a system that would tell him the exact opposite. There's no way, Peter, that you could be royalty and a priest before the Lord, because all you are is a fisherman. How does he get there? He gets there because the Spirit of God is talking to him about who he is. It's revelation. Whenever you find yourself and encounter situations where God's word says one thing, but within you it seems like it's so very different, that one of the things that you need is revelation from God. You can go to his word and say, "God, you say this is what's true, but inside me, I'm not believing that's true." And so Pastor John talked last week about having a choice to make, and that's a part of it. So you begin to make the choice, and then you begin to ask him and say, "God, I need you to reveal to me what is true about me, what you say is true about me." Consider the words, royal priesthood. Royalty. Somebody that's royal, who's noble, they're used to being important in the world, right? They're used to being important. They're used to being leaders. They're used to making decisions or decrees and seeing things happen. They're used to people paying attention to them, to wanting their input, their influence. A king or a queen looks to fulfill the mandate of their kingdom. They use the resources they have to accomplish the mandate of that kingdom. See, a good king or a good queen understands that that resources are meant to be used, not hoarded. They would understand that they own the resources don't own them. They're not controlled by other people. But they use what they have for the good of others, to see their kingdom grow and expand. True royalty understands that they're in a place of privilege and they're there to serve others. We are called to just that. Know this, you are actually important to this world. You're important to this world. The world all around us, right? The enemy wants us to believe that we're not, and that we don't have anything significant to offer. And the fact is that if you do what the Lord says, it's significant in this world. Even if it's as simple as being extra kind to the server who screws up your order later today when you go to the restaurant and you tip them extra. Because you don't know where they've come from or what kind of day they've had before meeting you. And you might not know or ever understand the impact that you can have. You are important to this world around you. Why? Because you carry the kingdom of God within you. This isn't about pride or self-importance. It's about Jesus in us. As sons and daughters, we are under the authority of our Father. And when the Father has spoken, something is His will, we're able to take what is He has declared, His promise, and we're able to then declare it and decree it upon the earth. Let me give you an example. Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at a time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as John did, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. See what happens here. What's Peter say? "I don't have anything. I don't have money. I don't have anything. What I do have, I can give you." Here's what I'm trying to get at for you. God calls you royal priest. We need to grow. We need to learn. We need to study the word. But if you find yourself in situations and circumstances where you're like, "I'm not good enough for this. I don't know enough." The fact is that you don't have to have anything other than Jesus. See, God can and wants to use you to see lame people made well. But he also wants to use you to be extraordinarily kind, to be overflowing with love, to be light in darkness, to serve the poor and the hopeless. Do you know that there's a church downtown, right, Radiant Life, that every night they're letting people in and feeding 50 or 60 homeless people. Some people from our church are involved in that. It's a wonderful encounter experience to go, and it takes about an hour, a little more. If you're interested in that, come talk to me and I'll get you connected. God wants to use you. We are meant to be a threshold or doorway. It's common, some common lies that we can believe around these things, right? God can't or won't use me except in small or unimportant ways. That's a lie. It's a common lie to believe that you're not good enough to be used, that you don't know enough, that you haven't been in faith long enough. Those are lies. It's a lie to think that you become prideful if you believe that God has made you important in this world. That's a lie, because it's not based on us at all. It's based on Christ. You are called to be a doorway, a threshold, a royal priesthood. So let me challenge you, let me encourage you today that he's chosen you to be just that. We're going to take a minute, and I'm going to invite the Lord to begin to speak to you about who you are in him. Because you might be one of the ones that you sit here and you think, God can't use me, or if he does, it's just going to be small, insignificant ways, and if at all, and things that won't make a difference. And that is absolutely a lie. Some of you might think that your past is defining your future, which is also not true. It's only true as we let it define our future, as opposed to letting him speak to you. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes right where you are. Just begin to focus on Jesus. Pastor John, you and the worship team can come on back. Just begin to focus on Jesus. And we're just going to, I want you to ask him this question. Say, "Okay, Father, I pray that you speak to my brothers and sisters, speak to all of us, Lord, about who we are in you." Lord, do you see us as royal? I mean, we know you say it in your word. But God, we need to hear you speak it into our hearts so that it changes us, Lord. God, what does it mean to be royal before you? God, am I a priest before you? Lord, how do you want me to minister both to you and to the world around me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help me. Help us, each and every one. God, that we would walk and live as royal priests before you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, have you chosen us? You might want to ask him just very personally, say, God, have you chosen me? It's okay to ask him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, may you build us into the spiritual house that you desire, that you can dwell in. And Lord, may we truly be the threshold, the doorway. Thank you. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand?